from the Maryland News Network, this is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
And welcome into High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark, as always, alongside my partner, Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too, and I'm excited for this week.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. We're going to touch on things that aren't just football during the course of this show. We got a lot to get to, but let's start by diving into last week's games to watch, the ones that you had identified as games that we needed to take a look at. And so let's go back and relive some of those. And if you don't mind, why don't we start with what ended up being kind of a lopsided game between River Hill and Longreach?
Yeah, River Hill and Longreach ended up being 42-6 in favor of River Hill. That's a big result for River Hill that keeps them, for me, as one of the top teams in Howard County to keep an eye on. And so that was just a big result for them. And their defense definitely stepped up. Longreach's offense was doing great things going into it, and they weren't able to do anything.
Good Counsel proved their mettle against Northwest.
Yep, 58-21 there for Good Counsel over Northwest. And then the other one, another big one, was Charles Herbert Flowers against Gwynn Park. And that was a defensive battle until sort of late in the game where the team started exchanging touchdowns. But Flowers was able to pull away 14-7 to remain undefeated, and they're looking like a team you're going to want to watch in PG County in the 4A South region.
Out in Frederick County, maybe a little surprising how lopsided this particular game was.
Yeah, I know. Walkersville-Linganore, for me, I was looking for a chance for Walkersville to really be tested, and they really answered the call. They finished 40-10 with the final score, a win there. And it was really all about the defense for the Lions. Linganore's came into this averaging a little over 47 points per game, and the Lions were really able to shut down that offense. It really started right away. First two possessions, it was a three and out for Linganore, and then there was a turnover. So right away, Linganore was up against it. And at the end of the day, the Lions ended up with three separate turnovers, so Linganore really struggled there. However, one thing Linganore can hang their hat on, they were able to score a touchdown, which is the first touchdown Walkersville has allowed all season on defense. So I don't know how happy they're going to be about losing the game, but that is one thing that they could be happy about. On the offensive side of the ball, the Walkersville running attack just remained elite. Jacob Wetzel was sensational, 187 yards, four touchdowns on 18 attempts. That kid is really hard to catch. Ty Littleton contributed 90 yards and 20 carries for a touchdown, and then Tyler Gleason also brought in a really sort of physical presence here in the running attack. He had a run early that was a 40-yarder where he broke four tackles. It was just a really all-around great effort by Walkersville, and it's a big result for them because with Linganore being a 3A school to Walkersville's 2A, they're going to get extra points out of this as well in the standings.
Wow, that's big. No doubt about that. And then this one, I think, lived up to the billing maybe a little bit more, as this is a pretty close one-possession game between Oakdale and Middletown.
Yeah, Oakdale and Middletown was definitely back and forth, though Oakdale had the early advantage. They built a 16-3 lead before seeing two quick touchdowns in the third quarter from Middletown, bring it right back and make it 17-16. The team sort of exchanged punts there for a couple possessions, and then Colin Schley from Oakdale really took over the quarterback. He went to work with 4 minutes, 23 seconds left on the clock. He led a game-winning drive that started with a 13-yard run by him, and then he completed a 48-yard pass, so a big completion there. A couple plays later, he was able to connect with Simeon Savute, another name I'm definitely getting wrong.
Nah, we'll go with it.
12-yard touchdown to with 2:49 left, and then Oakdale's defense was able to hold it against Middletown's very physical running attack. Schley ended up having a great game, 187 yards, two touchdowns through the air. He also ran for 52 and scored a touchdown, a rushing touchdown to open the scoring in the game. Savute ended with 65 yards rushing, and it was a big result for Oakdale. I know that this was a game that they really had eyed on their schedule. They had lost 44-17 to Middletown last year at their own place. So this was a way to Middletown. I guess this was sort of a chance, a little bit at redemption. And it's huge because the 2A West for me is about as competitive a region as there is. There's not a lot of room for error. So big for Oakdale that they were able to stay undefeated and remain second or third, I believe, is where they are right now in those standings. And for Middletown, who's also in the 2A West, if the playoffs were to start today, they would still be in it, but they have a little less breathing room. So the Knights are going to have a little bit more work going ahead of them.
When we come back in, we're going to talk actually some basketball. Huge story from the past week. That's next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn Clark alongside Wick Eisenberg. And Wick, I wanted to get into this. In our second segment, we like to feature a team or a storyline or something like that. And this one is a little selfish on my part.
Personal for you.
I picked this one out last week when I heard about a big news story involving a basketball player in Baltimore County who committed to a major program, committed to go play at Ole Miss. And I said to myself, boy, things have really changed. Because I, Glenn Clark, and an alum of Perry Hall High School, class of 2001, go Gators, chomp, 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 chomp. When I went to Perry Hall High School, there were no Division I basketball players. That wasn't a thing that existed. They didn't win state basketball titles. None of those things were real things. But now, my, have things changed. Now, again, in fairness, it's been
a little while.
Been a little bit longer than I like to admit that it's been. But some huge news in the past week as Anthony Higgs, a forward from Perry Hall, has committed to go play basketball at Ole Miss. How has this happened? How have we gotten to a point where Perry Hall basketball is not only winning state titles, but now producing D1 basketball talents?
As for how it's happened, I'm not entirely sure. They've just, you know, you go through different spells here with these programs and these teams where, you know, you just have an influx of talent. And right now, Perry Hall is certainly in the middle of that. Like you said, they won the state championship last year. The year before that, they had sort of a breakthrough year where they broke a bunch of records for wins and things like that. And Higgs has sort of been right in the middle of all of it. Now, he was a sophomore when he got called, he sort of started on the varsity. He got called up late as a freshman, so he played a little bit then, but really he started as a sophomore, started as a junior, and he's really been one of the go-to guys for Perry Hall during all of this, during this success that they have had. Now, in terms of his collegiate commitment, I did a little research, read around on it, and it looks like he was the type of kid who was not afraid to stay close to home. You hear some guys, they want to go far away from home and try something new. It sounded like he wanted to stay a little closer to home. And if you look through his list, you see it a little bit with Towson was on there, and then St. Joe's. But then you also have some schools that were a little farther away, Xavier, Colorado. So something tells me that that was something that was maybe a little overreported, that he had to stay close to home. And so Ole Miss apparently has been very aggressive with him since about July, really, really wanted him. And there's a lot of reasons to want this kid. He is currently 6'8" and around 200 pounds. But what's big about him is that he's one of these kids that has continued to grow. He's grown 5 inches from the start of his freshman year. So there's no reason to think he can't keep growing a little bit. And he's also a pretty raw player as well. Sometimes you have players who get in this position because they played AAU basketball or on some of these select teams for years. He's the opposite. He didn't really play ball in a sort of organized manner until 8th grade. And like I said, he wasn't called up to the varsity till the end of his freshman year. So he wasn't going into high school really seen as, oh, here's this big prospect. Here's our savior for the program. Yeah. But he's certainly turned into being a very good player.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Take me through his background. AAU guy?
Not an AAU guy. Like I said, he just went through and started in 8th grade playing more organized. Now he's played AAU ball and stuff more in high school.
Right.
But to start out with, not really. And his profile as a player, he's just really dynamic and he does a lot of different things. He averaged 15.7 points per game, which was leading the Gators. That was the most on the team. He had 8.8 rebounds, 2 blocked shots, 2 steals, 1.2 assists all per game. And he's just an excellent post player who's also begun to be able to shoot from the outside as well. And for me, I think something that really stands out is you look at a guy who hasn't really played too much organized ball, you know, starting in 8th grade, and then he's also sort of raw and things like that, I guess you could describe him as. But there's not too many raw players who also have the capability to lead a team to a 4A state championship.
That's remarkable.
That is pretty remarkable. So if we're not even with the full skill set quite yet, where can we go from here? It's going to be really impressive to watch and definitely somebody you want to keep an eye on. Now, he's not the only thing going on there. He's had a little bit of help at Perry Hall. He's been a part of a group, their front court, which has been sort of nicknamed the Twin Towers because of how big they are. He's joined by Laquil Hartnett up front. He's on the forward position, and he's 6'8", also around 200 pounds. It's just a commanding front court that a lot of teams have been struggling with to contain.
Well, it's very clear that that's the way that it's worked. And again, we're talking about Anthony Higgs, who is the Perry Hall basketball player who's committed to Ole Miss. That announcement came in the last week. We're talking about him here on High School Sportsline.
Yeah.
I think it's also a statement about you can win a state championship, you can fluke into that type of thing. Not fluke, that's the wrong way to describe it.
Yeah.
You can have just one year where everything kind of falls in line.
You get hot at the right time.
Those things can occur. this to me is a statement about the program is on another level. When you're producing D1 talent at a public school in Baltimore County, to me that puts you on a different level. It puts you, and I say D1, there's a lot of D1s. I'm talking about major conference Division I basketball players. I think that elevates you to a profile where you're a basketball school. That's what you are now, and I think that's what Perry Hall is becoming.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. And this year they definitely could continue on with that in terms of being a contender for the state championship. Now, their top players from last year were Higgs and Hardnett, so they're returning as well for their senior year. And then they also have a guy named Tyler Holly, who was sort of a dynamic super sub for them last year, who was funnily enough doing great things on the football field for Perry Hall this year as their quarterback and has thrown for over 1,000 yards. So, you know, pretty dynamic, athletic kid. He should be starting this year as well. Now, one thing that they are sort of graduating, I believe they've lost 8 kids from that team last year. So a lot of seniors were on that team. That being said, the core of that group, you still have a great core coming back. Now, James Ryder was a shooting guard for them last year who got really hot at the right time. As we talked about, you need a little bit of help in that regard, and he got really hot, and I believe he led the team in scoring at the state championship in the state final against Quince Orchard. So they don't have him anymore. However, they still do have 2 6-foot-8 just behemoths down there who are athletic and can attack the boards and really control things for them. So I think Perry Hall going forward is going to be in really good shape and good showing. And you were talking about the program. Does this raise the profile of it being able to now produce some D1 talent? Absolutely it does. As you said, Perry Hall for years, I would probably think maybe soccer was another sport that was good.
Baseball, yeah.
A good athletic program, no doubt, because, 4A, it's one of the few 4A teams in Baltimore
school.
County. Big
yeah.
school, a lot of athletic kids. They've had plenty of success on the soccer field, baseball field. But basketball was sort of a sport where they had, been lagged behind for a little bit now. And so now you're entering this period here where they have another really Division I talent kid going out. They have a couple other really dynamic kids. We'll see where they end up going with Hardnett, what sport Holly ends up choosing to play. I'm pretty sure he views himself as a basketball player ahead of football, but he's already thrown for 1,000 yards this year, so maybe that's changing. For me, that's just definitely a program that you want to keep an eye on, and it's always great to see when a school that's been around as long as Perry Hall that hasn't had as much success in that program is having all these firsts, most wins in a season, regional titles, state championships, and it's looking like it's going to continue this year.
That's awesome stuff. Congratulations to Anthony Higgs on his commitment to Ole Miss, and congratulations to Coach Panagiotou and Perry Hall. Remarkable, remarkable story. When we come back in, let's dive into some other sports. Let's talk some soccer. Let's talk some volleyball. Let's touch on everything. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. It continues next on the Maryland News Network.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Valvoline Premium Conventional Oil and an STP filter for $24.99 or an extended life filter for $2 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With 76 greater D.C. metro area locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
With the connection of these wires, the entire country will be able to communicate without the assistance of an operator. Surely, no other technology will ever be needed.
Change is the one constant in the IT field. Stevenson University's Computer Information Systems program prepares you to use the latest technology and manage that change.
I like Stevenson's program because it focuses a lot on your career after school.
Because the classes are smaller, you get more attention.
For more information, please visit stevenson.edu/CIS.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Sunday, October 8th at Lake Elkhorn in Columbia as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Howard County Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
On October 12, Emma Bellows, an 8th grade mathematics teacher, took a wrong turn on her trip through Gettysburg's Lincoln Square. She had expected the historic battlefields, but now she stood in the middle of a contemporary food scene that rivaled anything she'd ever dreamt of. It was, she was heard to say, a culinary fantasy land, but with cider houses and wineries. For Emma, this one turn would change everything.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Glenn and Wick here on High School Sports Line. And Wick, I want to get into some other things. We spent a lot of time talking about football on this show.
Absolutely.
We spent a segment talking about basketball. Let's talk about some other fall sports right now. And a really notable result from the world of boys soccer is, I think everyone knows what a power Archbishop Curley is when it comes to soccer. It's just insane what they have produced over the years. Well, they didn't win a match this week, and that's notable. It was a draw, and it came against C. Milton Wright. Tell me a little bit about what's going on up in Harford County with C. Milton Wright.
Yeah, C. Milton Wright, that result really stood out to me because, as we said, it's because of how well-regarded Curley is. This is a team that, by many people, many soccer experts in the area, think that that might be the best high school team in the area by the end of the year. That's how we're all going to be, you know, viewing it. But C. Milton Wright really took it to him and battled. And for me, a 2-2 result for Coach Brian Tully and the Mustangs is a really, really good place for that to end. But you get talking. I started talking to Coach Tully about it, and I'm actually going to have a story on this team on the Wikipedia later this week. So a little self promotion.
CountySportsZone.com.
Yeah, if you want to read a little bit more about him. But I had a conversation with Coach Tully, and he's really the first thing he started talking to me about was how he really wants to have a shifting culture of expectation at C. Milton Wright. Now this is a school that traditionally might not have been a powerhouse in soccer, but it's really been changing from 2013 to 2015. They won regional titles, and they even reached the state final in 2015. They weren't able to win, but it was their first state final appearance in quite some time. And up to that point, before 2013, they had only won 3 regional titles total in their program's history, so they had already sort of equaled that during that span. And so for him, changing expectations has been a big point of emphasis for him, and it's starting to show on the field. Now, in terms of the personnel, they still have 5 players left over from 2015. So the 2015 team was still a pretty young group. They had 5 of them, and they all started.
Wow.
So they still have them in the fold, and there's a lot of stuff to like about the Mustangs right now going forward in this year.
So what's the reality for them? Like, paint me the picture for C. Milton and who they're up against and what they're capable of accomplishing.
I really think that this is a team that could go far and accomplish a lot. And the reason for that is when I talked to Tully, he sort of talked to me about how his team's greatest strength is their ability to adapt and adjust in game. And there's sort of warring concepts in soccer, warring sort of ideas. You either should A, be able to adjust and adapt to the team you're playing, or you should just stay tried and true to the style that you like playing and impose that on the other team. And obviously this is personal preference. I love the ability to adjust and adapt. I think that that's something you need to be able to do because you're going to run into teams that do different things. And so if you end up having matchups with teams that don't work out on your first style, you have to be able to adjust. And so, yeah, he told me that initially, you know, C. Milton Wright likes to, you know, keep the ball, play possession, and then play pretty attack-minded soccer and try to score a bunch of goals. And if you look at their goal totals from this year, you certainly see that. However, you know, going up against Curley, he said, you know, we really respect Curley, and we knew that what they had in terms of talent. And so they weren't afraid to make this game a little bit more direct and a little bit more, rely a little bit more on their defense than they usually do. And I really like that they had multiple plans. And Tully admits that was a big thing, going more direct and more defensive. Curley was still able to take the lead in this game, but then they were able to, the Mustangs were able to bounce back with 2 quick goals right before halftime, both coming from Brett Lindsay, who bagged it. It was just a really good brace, a really superb brace from him. And they sort of had the lead there going into halftime all of a sudden, and Curley was able to come back in the second half, get a late equalizer, and then overtime comes into play, but they were able to bend but not break. And for me, I think you have to have that ability to be able to do that. Now, you talk to him, and like I said, shifting expectations. When Coach Tully was talking a lot about how, you know, a goal for a lot of teams is to win a state championship. That's sort of the big tangible goal. And obviously, that's what they want to do this year. That is their big goal. But he said that he wants to change more than just that. He wants the team to be going into games against Archbishop Curley. He also has they also have a schedule a game with McDonough next week. They have one with a team from Delaware Salesianum, which is always a tough school to pronounce. Once again, I'm sorry if I didn't do it right. But those are top teams in the area, in the sort of Mid-Atlantic area. And he wants his players to be going into games like that, expecting results. And so that was what he said. He preached to his players was, yeah, we're going to go into this game, change our style a little bit, but we are going to try to, you know, we should expect to get something out of this game.
Well,
and they were able
out.
To do it. Yeah,
yeah
it
worked,
worked
out.
And so, yeah, talking about the team, if you were saying on field what they were working with, Lindsay's bagged 5 goals for them this year. Connor Appleby, however, leads the team with 7 goals. He also has an assist. Ryan Belfiore is a midfielder who has 2 goals and 2 assists. Jason Butler, right back, a defenseman, has contributed 2 goals and 2 assists. You always love getting that out of defenders. Ethan Dolezal has not scored this year, but he has 6 assists. And then another key for this team that I think could take them to another level come playoff time is Ryan Miller, their goalkeeper. Now, it really helps to have a talented goalkeeper, and I think they have as good as one as any in the area. He has 37 saves this year, 5 goals against, and he already has posted 3 shutouts. Now, I also got a couple career stats for him. He has started 60 games, and he has 312 saves.
Wow.
And he also has 30 shutouts. Now, I'm not a mathematician. Math is not my forte, but 30 shutouts in 60 games.
Yeah, it's
every other game.
I believe that's half.
Half, yeah.
I believe that's half.
I believe that's correct. So for me,
that's that Perry Hall education.
That Perry Hall education
me, yeah.
come right through. There you go. But it was for me. You have a goalie like that who can make these big saves. Who you can really rely on and can really marshal your defense. And I think that puts you in just a great spot going forward. So C. Milton Wright is a team that I think you're going to want to keep an eye on. Now that being said, they are in a brutal division. The 3A North is as dangerous as it comes. Towson, the team who beat them last year, who eliminated them on penalty kicks, is expected to be good this year. Lansdowne is a team that's on the rise. Patapsco is always dangerous. There's tons of talented teams in there, so it'll be a gauntlet for them to get through. However, I do think C. Milton Wright is a team that'll be able to answer it.
Very good. Let's switch gears. We're talking about some other, you know, we're trying to step away from football a little bit. We'll get back to football, I assure you. But one other program that I think maybe deserves a little bit of attention, I know you've written about them at countysportszone.com. Tell me a little bit about North Hagerstown Volleyball.
Yeah, and sort of continuing on with what we did last week, we talked about Magruder, which was a team out of the 3A West region that's having a really good year. North Hagerstown is in that region and is another team that I think you want to keep an eye on. The Hubs have sort of turned into this recent powerhouse, if you will. From 2011 to 2014, they won 3 state championships. It was sort of the program in the area at the time. Now, since then, it's the titles have gone a little barren. It's sort of gotten a little drier over there. I mean, they haven't been able to get out of the regional play yet in playoffs since then. But that doesn't mean that they haven't been a winning team. They've posted winning records every single year. So Megan Crawford, their head coach, has really credited the girls that they've had come through in there for learning and the expectations of the program and really buying into it. And I think this year's team has a chance to jump ahead and be able to win a regional title and get them back to Ritchie Coliseum. They started the year 6-1, and what's encouraging for Crawford is that it's a blend. It's a real mix this year, 50-50 of newcomers and experienced veterans. So the thought process for her, in terms of players that they're seriously relying on, so the thought process for her is give the team more time to play together. The team should be able to peak more in late October come playoff time. So if you're already able to post a 6-1 start, why not think that you can be able to do better when these girls get more playing time under the belt? So for me, North Hagerstown, I'm definitely buying into it, and I think that that's a team that could be pretty good. In terms of their personnel, they've gotten great play from their setter, Claire Knepper, their libero, Sienna Starkey, their right side hitter, Ashton Barvinchak, and then an outside hitter in Chloe Coulter, who's doing a really good job, and a middle hitter in Drew Wallach, that's also having a really good start to the year. So for me, that's definitely a team that you're going to want to keep an eye on. And something else that's sort of changed for them this year is they're now in a new conference. They're in the Central Maryland Conference. So they're going to be going up against teams that they might not have been playing against last year because they were registered as an independent. So they're now going to be playing a lot more Frederick County teams than they were last year, which is obviously good volleyball as well. They were able to pull out a big win against Tuscarora, which is a well-regarded program, in five sets. And their one loss has come to Linganore, which is another team out of Frederick. So they should be really tested this year. They still have games with Middletown coming up. And then they're playing teams also from Washington County, Williamsport, Smithsburg, that won state titles last year. And they also have to play Magruder. So for me, North Hagerstown is a team that you're definitely going to want to keep an eye on.
Great stuff. County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Never miss the score with County Sports Zone. In our next segment, we will make our weekly trip down to the Bayside Conference. Mike Bradley is the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net, and he'll join us next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues on the Maryland News Network.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusion supply.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
It's the Columbus Day sale at JCPenney. Get up to 50% off select mattresses like Tempur-Pedic, Serta, Sealy, Beautyrest, and more. Plus, get 18-month special financing on purchases of $4.99 or more with your JCPenney credit card. Plus, free delivery and assembly on all mattress purchases over $5.99. Add it up. These deals can't be beat. JCPenney.
Available in select stores. Some exclusions apply. Financing terms valid through 2/3/18. Must request at time of purchase. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store associate for details. Free delivery not available in all areas.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Sunday, October 8th at Lake Elkhorn in Columbia as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Howard County Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here and time to make our weekly trip down to the Bayside Conference. Our next guest is, of course, the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. He is our buddy Mike Bradley. Mike, it's so good to talk to you as always, man, and another big great week in the Bayside Conference this past week.
Absolutely. I tell you, as I mentioned last week with the parody, it keeps me up trying to figure out who should be ranked where exactly, and I'm always second-guessing myself this year, where in years past, I wasn't necessarily doing that.
So tell me, give me a rundown of what the big storylines were from this past week.
Yeah, well, our game of the week was Kent Island and Parkside. Kent Island, I have ranked number two, and Parkside, I have ranked fourth, and Parkside, one of the top teams in the South, getting a chance at redemption against the North team as they were blown out by North Carolina week two. And, you know, they had a chance early in the second half to tie the game up, but they fumbled the football. Kent Island drove down and got a field goal out of it and went on to win the game 31-19. Parkside scored a late touchdown in that one. And so they were a little bit more competitive, but in general, again, it was another game where the South was unable to pull off that upset or maybe make it, say, you know, a three-point game to make it really close. We were saying, yeah, the South has come a long way. There's just still that big divide between the North and South, even among the top teams in the South.
Anything else from this week that jumps out at you?
Well, we, you know, something that I've been working on for this week's blog at OvertimeLive.net was, you know, non-conference games. And I'm always happy to see those get sprinkled in because some teams play an all-conference schedule. Easton actually went over and played Southern of Anne Arundel County on a Thursday night, and that game was 8-7, and they were able to score a touchdown late, like with 5.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and get the two-point conversion to hold on to win. But it's always great to see these teams play some non-conference games against Western Shore teams like Southern. Actually, next week, Ken Island goes on the road to Oakdale out of Frederick, who's a top 25 team, which is great to see. And then some of the Bayside teams have played some non-conference games against some of the Delaware teams in the Henlopen Conference. And the Henlopen Conference, in my opinion, is a better conference. So I like seeing those games. It's competitive. And if anything, it's a step up in competition for them.
Hey, Mike Wick here. So we're entering the sixth week of the season here, which is obviously means that we're entering the second half of the season. The first half is done and over with. So what were a couple different things that either stood out to you or storylines? Anything big from the first half of the season that I guess sort of surprised you?
Well, I think actually I'd start in the South. J.M. Bennett is at 4-1. Now, all their wins have come against teams with losing records, but that said, this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for J.M. Bennett. So, look, you play who you play on your schedule, and outside of their loss to Ken Island, who is ranked number two, they've done a really nice job of putting together a good first half. I'm not sure I saw that coming. You know, we talked in subsequent weeks about the injuries with Easton, with their quarterback Mason Ledford out for the year, and that has reversed their fortunes, unfortunately. They're sitting at 2-3 this year, where they certainly have playoff aspirations that now are going to be a lot more difficult. They still have a shot, but it's a long shot at that. And then I'd say, you know, with North Carolina, we knew they were going to be really good at the top. I don't know if we knew how dominant they were going to be until they actually hit the field. But they've been every bit as dominant, and they've lived up to expectations so far. And outside of the Ken Island game late in the year, it very much looks like this team is going to go 10-0 this year. Outside of Ken Island, which is going to be a good one, I see North Carolina going undefeated. So I think those are probably a couple of the big headlines from this year.
And another surprise I know that you're pretty happy with, and I'm sure everyone on the Eastern Shore is that Mother Nature has actually cooperated this year on the Eastern Shore, which I know is not a guarantee. Has that been sort of a pleasant surprise or anything that people have been talking about over there?
Well, I mean, so certainly you just don't know with the hurricane season, and you also get a fair amount of nor'easters or tropical storms, if not hurricanes, being close to the Atlantic like this. So any time that things are quiet and the schedule can remain consistent is a great thing. I remember 2 years ago, we had a situation where it got to be a bit crazy. You had some teams that ended up playing, I want to say, like three games in like 12 days.
Yeah, I remember
14 days. Yeah, and so it certainly, as a coach, you want consistency and, play your players as they say in the pros and in college, creatures of habit. And I think the high school level, yeah, they're high school kids, but I think some level of consistency is a good thing to have as well. So, yeah, the weather has remained really nice and has not been a factor in affecting anybody's schedule. The only changes, guys, I mean, you occasionally get a Thursday game in there and some Saturday games, so sometimes you're a short week or long week, but that may be a week or two out of the year, but about 8 weeks out of the year, if the weather's good, then you know what you're getting in terms of a Friday night game.
And looking ahead to the second half of the season now, is there anything, what's really sticking out to you that's going to be something that we're going to want to keep an eye on? I know Kent Island, North Carolina is going to be probably the biggest game over there, but is there anything else that's also going to be really, really big?
Well, I mean, we've got a game coming up, and I don't mean to maybe sneak ahead, but we've got a game coming up in Salisbury this Friday between Parkside and J.M. Bennett, Parkside at 3-2, Bennett at 4-1. And that'll be one of the games of the week. And they have a Salisbury Championship, much like the Commander's Cup with the military academies. So the three teams, play each other, and whoever wins, two of the three, wins that Salisbury Championship. So it'll be interesting to see who wins out in terms of the best team there and who's the best team in the South. I think one of the other, big headlines, as I talked about, there's a lot of parity between, say, teams 5-10. And it'll just be interesting to see of those teams, who kind of rises to the top and who ends up either dropping or just staying around 500. So I'm really curious to see, how that's going to shift here over the second half of the season.
He is Mike Bradley, the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. He joins us here on High School Sports Line. Mike, just a couple of things to add to this. One, as we go back over this first half superlatives, is there one player that you say in the Bayside Conference, if you haven't seen this guy yet, you need to come see him. He's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely have to say, you know, David Bailey of North Carolina, the running back, and then Jamion Franklin, those two guys obviously stick out there. You know, if I put the easy ones aside for a second, I think Ken Ireland quarterback Trent Jackson has to be on that list, the senior transfer from Riverdale Baptist. He's got a really good arm, and he is the right now, you know, I mean, North Carolina's quarterback pretty good, but I don't think he's in the same class as a dropback passer, Jackson, so he would be a guy to see. For Cambridge, Taj Moloch, he had 7 touchdowns against Nandua from the Eastern Shore of Virginia, and then make that 11 for the last 2 weeks total. He's a guy to see. Nile Ogie, a running back for Parkside. So those would be a couple of the names there for me that would stick out for guys to see if you haven't seen them.
All right, and you already started to allude to what's coming up, but let's get into it a little bit more as we look ahead to what's coming up this week. Obviously, we know some of it, but tell us a little bit more about what's on tap for the Bayside Conference this week.
Yeah, and I'll just finally say this with Parkside, J.M. Bennett, the Battle of Salisbury Championship there, 3-2 Parkside, 4-1 J.M. Bennett. I would just say about that game, Parkside has played a much tougher schedule than J.M. Bennett, and that's why I would favor Parkside in that one, but really that game could go either way. You know, our game of the week is going to be Easton hosting North Carolina, and that'll be an uphill battle for Easton, but last year this game was like a 46-45 game, if I'm not mistaken, so that'll be a good one. Cambridge of Washington, that'll be a 1A battle. I think Snow Hill guys, we've talked about it, Snow Hill, this may be their best chance to get a win before the season ends. They've lost 26-27 straight. They haven't won since October 14, so they have a shot this week. And then Decatur, Kent County and Colonel Richardson, a pair of 1A teams doing battle, and Colonel really needs this game to stay in the 1A playoff hunt. That ought to be a really good game Saturday in Federalsburg.
Very good. Mike, for those that don't know about it, tell everybody what they need to know about Overtime Live.
Yeah, we air a game of the week every Friday night, most Friday nights, on 94.3 Winx FM on the Eastern Shore out of the Eastern area, and then we stream at sfmsports.net. And then after the game, I host Overtime Live where we analyze the games and, of course, give all the scores out, and we break everything down, and then we talk to the coaches across the Bayside. And, again, the content that we have at facebook.com/overtimelive, but my blogs and power polls and picks can all be accessed through sfmsports.net. Click on the high school link there, and then the drop-down box, and click on Overtime Live, and you'll be good to go. And Steve does a great job, too, of archiving the show. So if you missed it Friday night, you can listen to it over the weekend or even the following week and learn a lot from the coaches.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Hey, Mike, always appreciate it, man. Thank you for taking the time for us this week. When we come back in here on High School Sports Line, we're going to talk about some of the other games coming up this weekend throughout the state of Maryland. What are the games to watch? Quick Eisenberg will tell us all about that. Don't forget, this football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more by going to countysportszone.com. Plus, you can find the wonderful work of our own Wick Eisenberg right there at countysportszone.com. The games to watch are next as we roll along right here on High School Sports Line on the Maryland News Network.
Winter is on its way. Is your grass cut out for it? Fall is the best time to seed your lawn, and right now the Home Depot has 20% off Scott's Turf Builder grass seed bags, 15 pounds or larger. Only Turf Builder has WaterSmart Plus coating technology, along with nutrients to jumpstart new growth and protect against diseases. Get healthy grass guaranteed. For a healthy lawn, it's time to sow the seeds of success with 20% off Scott's Turf Builder grass seed, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 11th.
Have you experienced an uncomfortable moment on the job site? Maybe every time a coworker lifts a box, he grunts like a giraffe giving birth. Or you've just seen way too many butt cracks. Call the Timberland Pro Uncomfortable Moments Hotline at 1-877-40-COMFORT. Your uncomfortable story could be our next radio commercial. Timberland Pro knows work can be uncomfortable. So we make work gear that's comfortable. Work shirts, pants, and boots, head to toe. Share your uncomfortable story at 1-877-40-COMFORT. Timberland Pro, not uncomfortable.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letter. better stop aggressive collection actions and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Final segment of High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick Eisenberg, let us dive into this week's five games to watch throughout the state of Maryland. Of course, this is also available at countysportszone.com, but let's get into it. And how about we start by going to Montgomery County, and you tell me a little bit about Paint Branch and Quince Orchard.
Yeah, I like this game. I think it's going to be a fun one. These are two teams that sit atop their respective regional standings. Paint Branch 4A North, Quince Orchard 4A West. And starting with Paint Branch, they've been able to win close games against Blair and Spring Brook to stay undefeated this year. They're 5-0, and they've really been doing it in a variety of ways, but quarterback Norman Douglas Jr. has really been at the middle of all of it. He's averaged 137.4 yards per game throwing, 12 touchdowns to just one interception, so obviously he's been being very effective there. And then wide receiver Max Davis has been his main target. He has 3 touchdowns, 224 yards receiving. And then Ali Sheriff and Dedis Anumga, oh God, definitely
yeah,
got that
got
one
it.
Wrong. Definitely
yeah, sure.
Got it wrong. 2 touchdowns each for both of them. But it hasn't just been the passing game for them. They have a really dynamic running back as well, Sam Doku, who has 343 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, and Justin Hockaday, who has 330 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. So Paint Branch, for me, has been a team that has really gotten off to a good start here. They've been able to win some close games here lately. So they're going to be up against a really tough matchup here in Quince Orchard, who we talked about briefly a couple weeks ago in their game against Bullis that went to overtime. They were able to bounce back from that loss to Bullis by beating Kennedy 53-0. So you could certainly say that Quince Orchard is back in business. Back in business. And they have a great quarterback, Doc Bonner, who, like I believe I mentioned last week, is committed to play at Dartmouth. He's a tremendous player. He has 826 yards throwing right now, 7 touchdowns through the air, but he's also been able to do it with his legs. He has 8 rushing touchdowns and 278 yards rushing. So 15 touchdowns from him alone certainly helps. But he also has had a lot of help. Brendan McGonigal has been a really good wide receiver for them, 307 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns. Marquez Cooper, a running back, 4 touchdowns, 247 yards. This is going to be a really big game. Quince Orchard hammered Paint Branch last year, 35-0. But I'm thinking that this game is going to be a lot closer. Paint Branch last year was in a rebuilding year. They only finished 5-5. They already have 5 wins this year. This is going to be a close one and a big test for Paint Branch. Let's see if they can top Quince Orchard.
At 6:30 Friday night at Quince Orchard. Now, a couple of teams that made it all the way to M&T Bank Stadium. I guess technically last year
it was Navy
Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, sorry, where they played the state finals. But 2 undefeated teams in the UCBAC. Tell me about Haverty Grace and Elkton.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned the state finals from last year. I vividly remember this. So both games were played. They were played back-to-back. Haverty Grace first, then Elkton second. And what I loved about it was Elkton got to this game, to Haverty Grace's game. They got to the stadium early to sit there and cheer for Haverty Grace. They were over there. So for me, now, granted, they didn't play each other last year. So maybe that helps helps with the, you know, not having bad blood. But I really liked that gesture. And there's clearly sort of a sense of camaraderie amongst these teams. And they compete in different classifications again this year. Haverty Grace is 1A, Elkton's 2A. So you know that these are two teams that once they get to the playoffs, they're going to be cheering for each other. Now, Haverty Grace, starting with them, we talked about them a couple weeks ago, but they've picked up wins since we last talked about them against Aberdeen and Bel Air to jump way ahead in the 1A East. They have about as big a lead as anybody in the regional standings right now. So, you know, barring a major dip in form, you got to think that the Warriors are going to be able to make the playoffs again this year. And one other thing that's really helped them is they beat Perryville, who's in second place in the regional standings.
Huge, yeah.
Not only did they beat them, they beat them 52-6.
That's noteworthy.
Yeah, noteworthy. So it's starting to look like they're going to be sort of the class team in the 1A East to keep up with. Running back Josiah Stansbury's been great. Quarterback quarterback, Alex Grisek, has really been good. And he has a great target in Jordan Day, a wide receiver who was all-county last year, so he has a go-to receiver. And then talking to Coach Brian Eberhardt, you know, it's weird when you're really highlighting the center, but it must mean that he's really good. So Jared Graybeal, for him, he says there's nobody he would change him with. He's a three-year starter, has been a really good anchor on that line. So they have a great offensive line. I'm looking at Havre de Grace to be very tough to beat, but Elkton is certainly not easy either. They barely got past a very good Edgewood team last week. They beat them 21-20. QB Ray Johnson threw the winning touchdown with 13 seconds left in a game, so it was really a nail biter here. And Johnson, that's sort of been the theme of the year. He's been excellent. He has 452 yards passing, 336 rushing combined. Passing and rushing. He has 13 touchdowns, so he's really played at a high level for Elkton. They have a really good running back in Ray Estep, who has 582 yards and 8 touchdowns. And then defensively, they've been led by this pair of linebackers. Tashawn Waters, who's a sophomore, is really making a big impact. 77 tackles and 3 sacks. Mike Matthews has 44 tackles, 3 sacks, and an interception. Elkton's defense has played at a really high level. For me, this is going to be a really exciting game and definitely one that you're going to want to keep an eye on.
That's Friday at 7 o'clock, and that game is at Elkton. Now let's head to Anne Arundel County for a couple of games. We're going through our games to watch for this week here on High School Sports Line. Let's begin with Broadneck and Old Mill.
Yeah, Broadneck and Old Mill. Now, these are two teams that are very familiar with each other. There's a lot of history here. The last two seasons, they played each other twice. So you would think that means they're going to play each other again at some point. Now, the history has been Old Mill has been able to beat Broadneck in the regular season, but Broadneck's been able to even the score in the playoffs. So there's definitely a lot of motivation from both sides here for Broadneck. They really look like they could be the team to beat in the 4A East. They haven't been tested yet. They're 5-0. Quarterback Shane Davis has 1,202 yards passing already this year. He's been absolutely dynamite for them. 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and he has a 170.8 QBR.
Wow.
So that is definitely something that is definitely eye-opening at the high school level. He's also contributed 3 rushing touchdowns. Now, Ethan Williams, a wide receiver, has been Davis's main target. He has 112 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns. Tyler Vermillion's gotten in on the act as well on the receiving, 312 yards, 2 touchdowns. And they also have a fantastic running back in Jason Carcomo, 552 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. So Broadneck's dynamic offense is going to be going up here against Old Mill, who has really started the year about as poorly as you could. They lost 42-0 against North Point. And I think everybody sort of looked around and said, ooh, is Old Mill, is this going to be the year they finally don't make the playoffs? It's starting to look like that's not the case. They've won 4 in a row, and Isaiah Batts, their running back, has had a huge role in that since that North Point game. In every single game, he's rushed for at least 100 yards and scored at least 1 touchdown. And he's coming off possibly his best game of the season against North County last week. He had 234 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
Now, that wasn't even his first 4 touchdown performance of the year. He did the same thing against Annapolis in a big game for there as well. So you got to be looking at Bats to be having a big role for Old Mill in this game. They've had Marcus Thompson, their quarterback, has played well, and their defense has been really opportunistic. Last game, they had 3 interceptions. Cameron White, Miles Demby, and Dante Simpson all nabbed one for the Patriots. So Old Mill, Broadneck, certainly not one you're going to want to miss.
It's a really good one, and that one actually kicks off at 6:30 on Friday, and that is at Old Mill. Staying in Anne Arundel County, Chesapeake is at South River.
Yeah, Chesapeake, another team that started really poorly. They lost to Towson in a lopsided affair, but they've really stepped it up in the last few weeks, and they're 4-1 right now. And the defense has been key. They haven't allowed more than 14 points in a game. And last week against Lansdowne, which was admittedly one-sided, they had a big performance from Cody Carpenter. 4 sacks and a forced fumble. They couldn't keep Cody out of the backfield. So he's going to be a player that you're definitely going to want to be watching. And then Tony Watkins is another one for Chesapeake. 372 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns. He's been their sort of go-to guy on the offensive side of the ball. And then South River has been sort of the cardiac kids these last few weeks. They've played a ton of close games. They lost 27-26 to Arundel. Then they were able to beat Annapolis 46-42 on a late touchdown. And then they will be able to beat Severna Park 28-21 on a late touchdown. So everybody's been having a heart attack in South River these last few weeks.
Understood.
Yeah, and so it's starting to look like, you know, this week it might not be any different because I think that, you know, Chesapeake's going to offer a lot of challenges for them. Caleb Edney, a quarterback, has been really, really good. 932 yards throwing with 12 touchdowns. Ryan Proctor has been their main his main target. 566 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns. And they, just like Chesapeake, they have a good running back in Joe Foy. 715 yards and 6 touchdowns. If this game goes close, I really do think that South River will have an edge. One, because they're home. And two, because they're so used to playing in these close games. Chesapeake, is pretty much every game has been lopsided in one way or the other. So this is one that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, and I think it will have your entertainment value for sure.
All right, that one kicks off at 6:30 on Friday and is at South River. And one more, and it's funny because we go from one Chesapeake to another.
Don't want to confuse anyone. Yeah, we got right? two of them this week.
That was Chesapeake and Arundel County. Now let's go to Chesapeake in Baltimore County as they square off with Towson in a matchup of teams with just one loss.
Yeah, and I think these are two teams that at the beginning of the year, if you had said through the first half of the year they'd only have one loss, a lot of people would be surprised, but they both played very, very well. Starting with Chesapeake, a win in this game would equal their win total from the entirety of 2016, so you know that that's going to be something on the minds of head coach Daryl Hunter and his Bayhawks over there. Now, they were shut out by Kenwood in the first week, but they've been able to win four straight since then, and much like their Chesapeake counterpart, it has been about the defense. They've only allowed 14 points over the last 3 weeks total, which includes a big shutout that they were able to get against Owings Mills. So Chesapeake's defense is going to be the key for them in this game, I think. And they're going to have their hands full with Towson because Towson's been able to score a lot of points this year. The team has really excelled under first-year head coach Ryan Petillo. And somebody who's been right in the middle of all of it has been Nation Simmons. Now, he has been an all-around talent for them. We talked about him briefly on this program before. He's a sophomore who's already making waves on the ground as a running back. He has 814 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. And then on defense, 30 tackles, 3 sacks, and an interception. So he's been a really good player for them. And then Alex Simmet has been their leader on defense, 51 tackles, 3.5 sacks, which are both team highs. And then Roger Holcomb has also been an effective runner, 396 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns. It's going to come down to, for me, can Nation Simmons still have a big game against this Chesapeake defense?
And that is the question, and we will find out on Saturday, as that is a 1 p.m. kickoff
Saturday afternoon
at Towson High School. Wick Eisenberg, great work as always, my friend. It just seems to fly by every week. Appreciate all your effort.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio on Demand. This has been High School Sportsline, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
On October 12, Emma Bellows, an 8th grade mathematics teacher, took a wrong turn on her trip through Gettysburg's Lincoln Square. She had expected the historic battlefields, but now she stood in the middle of a contemporary food scene that rivaled anything she'd ever dreamt of. It was, she was heard to say, a culinary fantasy land, but with cider houses and wineries. For Emma, this one turn would change everything.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network.